I'm Paul Wiegraf, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. In this studio with me today is a Delaware Division of the Arts Fellowship recipient a couple times around, Abby Milliger. Welcome, Abby.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to have you here today to talk in part about an upcoming, or actually a project you've been engaged in and an upcoming performance, public reading. But what I'd like to do is go back and sort of talk a little, have you talk a little bit about your career as a writer, because I mean you've received I think two fellowships from the Division of the Arts.
Actually, but, I've gotten three.
Oh, three. Okay, but in different literary genre. So I think. I think your career is one that reflects kind of an interesting evolution in writing. So if you wouldn't mind, let's sort of talk through that a little bit.
All right. I primarily consider myself a poet. I've been writing poetry for, 20, 25 years, and I did get an MFA in poetry. But I also have written other things like essays, reviews. I've had even translations published. And most recently, I wrote a play.
Now, so you started with poetry. You sort of transitioned, and transition maybe is the wrong word. I mean, you haven't given up poetry, but you've sort of expanded into the realm of playwriting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think that good writing is good writing is good writing, actually. So for me, they're all related. And I think that drama, because it's compressed, has a lot of similarities with poetry. And so when I wrote my play, I used a lot of what I know from poetry to write the dialogue.
Now, in your early career as a poet, or your earlier career as a poet, in the writing process, what were some of the considerations that you took into account? What were some of your inspirations, or what have been your inspirations?
That's a really hard question to answer, because anything can inspire a poem. I think we all bring our own histories to what we write. When I grew up, I lived all over the world. So I lived in Africa and Asia, also Europe, and the Caribbean. So I guess that is a big part of where I come from when I draw for inspiration.
Now, from that global living experience, clearly, you must have been exposed to a variety of different kinds of languages. Has that shaped kind of how you compose your poetry and your playwriting?
Absolutely. When we lived in Ethiopia, I was 8 to 10 years old, and I actually, while we were there, I went to an English school for a couple of months, and then my sister and I both went to a French school for 2 years. So I think that kind of early exposure to a foreign language made me aware of the different parts of speech and also of word roots. So, you know, sometimes when you're learning a foreign language, you'll find words that have parts that are similar and related to English words. So because of that, I am very aware of etymologies, where words come from, because I think that actually informs subtle differences in the meanings between words. So if you were taking a standardized test, you would get something like, okay, what is the synonym for walk? And you'll have things like saunter, and that will be the right answer. But to me, walk and saunter are not synonyms. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically mean the same thing, but, you know, amble, saunter, wander, those are all slightly different in flavor. Mm-hmm. So for me, and what we would call that in poetry is diction, word choice, what word you choose. To me, that's very important, and it's something I think some people aren't quite as acutely aware of as I am when I write.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you saying is that each word in your writing of poetry brings with it content or baggage, for lack of a better word, sort of meanings that are conveyed through that particular word that what someone might call a synonym wouldn't necessarily convey. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's true. And I was just thinking of this. I was listening to someone read something the other day, and I was thinking, oh, yes, I remember now. When you're writing, you have to be careful about adjectives and adverbs. I think when we're writing in school, sometimes the teacher will say, oh, put lots of, you know, juicy adverbs and adjectives in there. But to me, if you say an adverb and a verb, mm-hmm. usually, you know, like if your verb is walk and your adverb is slowly, walk slowly could be replaced with a much better verb. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. like, saunter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's good to go back. Like, I try to go back when I've written something and look very carefully at the adjectives and adverbs and try to take out as many as I can, mm-hmm. because usually there's a better word you could have used.
So find the word that incorporates the meaning of that adjective into it.
Yes.
Yeah, or the sense
yes.
of the adjective.
If you can. Yeah. Sometimes you can't, but a lot of times you can.
Right. That's very interesting. Now, in your writing of poetry, are there particular themes that you have gravitated toward more, themes of nature or relationship or...
I think I've gravitated perhaps towards poetry of place,
mm-hmm.
Probably because I moved around so much and there are places that I really miss, but in some ways I can't lay claim to. So, for instance, Kenya was a really great place to live, especially back in the 70s when I was there. But I can't really say I'm from Kenya,
mm-hmm.
but I lived there for, I guess, 4 years, and I feel like it's a part of me, but obviously I can't really claim it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back here, I went to boarding school for high school so that I would be in school for one place. I went to boarding school in northern Massachusetts in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, well, where are you from? And I would sit there and kind of do a duh because I couldn't answer that question. And I've been in Delaware for long enough now that I sort of, now I'm from Delaware. At least mm-hmm. finally I have a place that I'm from. But for a long time, I couldn't answer that question. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So moving from poetry into playwriting, we were talking off air beforehand that you made a comment about an interesting connection between poetry and playwriting, and that is the, I think you used a phrase, the density of
yeah,
the language.
It's compressed because you have to deliver. I mean, obviously the time frame is way different, but you know, poetry is maybe a page, but you're delivering some huge story and you only have a couple of hours to do it, and you're trying to convey the personalities, the characters, you know, with brief strokes, if you're thinking, you know, like, and so you have to be very selective in what you include and what you don't, and in that sense they're very similar.
Now, what was your impetus to move in the direction of playwriting or to sort of venture into that realm?
Well, one of the earliest things I remember writing was actually a play I wrote with my friends in middle school. Mm. It was called Backstage, and we thought it was hilarious. And then our friend Digit lost the script. So that was that. But and I always loved going to the theater, and my parents took us to the theater. And then when we lived in Vienna, we would go to the opera, whatever. And so I've always loved the stage and watching and the whole way that plays or musicals or whatever work and the scenery and everything. It's always been fascinating. So then this particular project is something that I had actually had in the back of my mind for maybe 15 years. I know that I was thinking about it way back when I lived in Massachusetts, because I have notes from the Worcester Art Museum library that I went and looked up. So for some reason, though, I just couldn't get it written. And then last summer, or last spring, I guess, I started writing it.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I want to continue talking about this, but first let me remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware, the Delaware State of the Arts, here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is literary artist, poet, and playwright Abby Milliger. We're here talking today about a little bit about her career in general, but more specifically about a new project that she's working on. And Abby, you can correct my pronunciation, Pele Kokoschka.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
A new play that is going to have a public reading at Chapel Street Players in Newark on August 12th and 13th at 8 p.m. and August 14th at 2 p.m.
Right.
And this is an opportunity for this new product of yours to be presented in a public reading. Now, I'm thinking about a connection between poetry and playwriting, and that is that both of those literary forms are, I think, are intended to be heard. But I mean, poems can be read and often are read in solitude, but there's also poetry readings, and oftentimes just the sound of the language is very helpful to hear it audibly and not just to read it internally. But at the same time, is there a challenge in the two different genre with voice? I mean, I'm kind of thinking of poetry as a poem being one voice, where a play is multiple voices through the characters. Is that a fair?
Well, you're right. A poem, a single poem frequently is in one voice, and poets, at least poets who have been working for a while, frequently have a voice that is typical of their own writing. However, poems can be persona poems. Mm-hmm. In other words, you write a poem and you put yourself in the place of somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, you could write a poem as a serial killer, you know, and you could read it. And mm-hmm. you hope that the audience understands that this is a poem and this is not really about you. And you know, but sometimes people do get confused, though. They think mm-hmm. that what you're saying in your poem is the truth about your own life and your own self. And mm-hmm. that can be... that can be awkward depending on the content of the poem.
Right, right.
So poets do write in other voices sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But certainly with a play, obviously each character needs his or her own way of speaking, and you know, that is a consideration that's kind of new.
Mm-hmm. Now, your new play, Pele Kokoschka, a dramedy in two acts. Let's sort of delve into that. What's the background of this piece? What prompted this? What's it about?
Well, it's a period drama, but with some magic realism or surrealism, depending on how you want to look at it. And it kind of comes from when my family lived in Vienna, and there is a period of art. It's Art Nouveau, which is sort of early 1900s, but the Viennese version of it is unique. And if you know the art of Gustav Klimt, that's from that period. So this particular style of art and architecture, it was a workshop. So they would try to make everything that so that it all sort of matched. So the scene of this play is a mansion created by the Vienna workshops, so that everything in the mansion was created by the workshops, including the mansion itself, the architecture, and every little item in the house, the furniture, the light fixtures, the tea set, you know, and then they also had people within their workshop who designed clothing. So the basis of the play is that the characters are living in this house that has been created that way. They're wearing the clothes. It's almost like it sort of harkens to A Doll's House in that they are kind of specimens in this house. And that's the setting.
It sounds like almost a manufactured harmony.
It is.
Of environment.
I just, that was the whole basis for this play. Mm-hmm. That was the kind of the thing that bugged me originally, because the whole idea is based on, there's a house in Brussels called Palais Stoclet, which you can go online. It's Stoclet. You can go online and look at the pictures, and it's beautiful. But I just looked at that and I thought, oh, what would that be like living in that place, knowing that you sort of supposed to measure up to somebody else's ideal of how everything should be? Mm-hmm. So in this play, it's really about Elizabeth, who is the woman who, she's a newlywed. She's kind of a trophy wife for a husband who is not nice at all. Who's kind of he's an upstart industrialist. And he's bought this house to look great in the community. And it happens to be near where the architect, another character, Josef Hoffman, who was actually a real-life person. So he comes there often to check out what's going on in the house, which is awkward. And then other things are happening. And at the same time, Gustav Klimt is in residence at the house because he's working on part of the house. So he's another character in the play. It's about Elizabeth and how she needs to break free of all the kind of things that are tying her down, kind of.
Now you wrote a draft of this. You now have actors working with this script and a director in preparation for this public reading at Chapel Street. What, moving into this genre of playwriting, what kind of challenges did you encounter with playwriting that aren't necessarily challenges in the creation of poetry?
Well, basically, I kind of didn't know what I was doing at the beginning. So, I mean, we all know how a play works. It has characters that talk. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a draft, and I got help from a dramaturg, and I rewrote a new draft. And then I really wanted a group in Wilmington or in Northern, or in Delaware, anywhere. Mm-hmm. There was kind of no playwriting group. So as you know, I reached out to you guys, and mm-hmm. Roxanne especially was very helpful. And together we organized a playwriters group, which we're kind of on hiatus for the summer. We're going to start up again in the fall. That's for people who are serious about playwriting and who are willing to commit to coming every month and not only having their play critiqued, but also helping others, you know, other playwrights mm-hmm. by critiquing their plays. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to develop a little community of playwrights in Delaware. And we're really lucky. We have a couple of established playwrights. Jamie Brunson is leading the group, and Bill Rolleri is also one of the leaders, really, of the group. And both of them are, you know, kind of full of information, which mm-hmm. is great for me because I'm sort of new to this, especially since. And then I had a lot of feedback from them, so I rewrote the play again. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm on like draft 18, actually, uh-huh. but. So I keep rewriting it, and now we have actors working on it. So I rewrite it because I see the actors performing a scene, mm-hmm. and I sit there with my pencil and I go, "Oh man, that doesn't sound good. Oh, this sounds good." Or, you know, this is good, but I need to shorten it. So I've been rewriting it all along as the actors that we have been practicing it mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the reading. August, what is it? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, August 12th. To 14th,
right,
at the Chapel Street Playhouse, mm-hmm. And it's just really exciting to see your words. I'm used to reading my own stuff, for me to see other people reading it or, you know, speaking the parts it's really exciting.
I was going to ask you that because, as you had mentioned again before we went on air, you talked about how frequently you have read your own poems in the past, but now you're hearing your words through somebody else's voice. How does that strike you, or how does what thoughts go through your mind? I mean, have you heard some of these lines a certain way, and when you hear them delivered differently, does that resonate? Or, I mean, how does that work?
sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's not so what I expected. So, but I have to say the first rehearsal that we had, there was, I don't remember which dialogue it was. It was some dialogue and it was really working well. And I was just kind of sitting there going, oh man, I mean, this is great. Oh wait, you know, I'm laughing at my own jokes. That seems really cheesy.
But I mean, that's a sign that it's working.
Well, yeah, that part. I mean, there are other things, obviously, that you know, there's some very highly poetic areas, and I'm just sitting there with my pen going slash 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 because it doesn't work on the stage.
So. Now, I have been, as an actor, I've been involved in these kinds of workshops, and I know there are at times tensions between the director, the writer, the actors about the language of the play. But it sounds to me like you are listening and you're open to hearing what it sounds like. At the same time, I think rightfully so, there must be some ownership of the language on your part.
There is, and you know, I work with director Carol Van Zoren, and we work together pretty well, I think. I try not to interrupt the rehearsal because I think that would be really disruptive. I hope I don't. Occasionally I do, though, because there's something that just isn't quite right.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
So I think we've come to a pretty good working relationship.
Good. That's great. Well, quickly, we have about a half minute left. So where can people find more information about this upcoming play reading?
Well, you can go to the Chapel Street Players website, or you can go to the what is the website? I can't read this. So www.DelawareScene, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, DelawareScene.com.
DelawareScene.com.
Calendar, or Chapel Street Players website.
Yes.
Which is Chapel Street Players. Or chapelstreetplayers.org. Okay? Well, Abby, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you for having me.